My job to remind you today that Christmas is not actually over, any more than parenting is over once the baby is born. Christmas is a beginning, not a conclusion. In the church, Christmas, the moment when the light comes into the world, next becomes a season of growing realization that the light is meant to shine for all people, not just a limited few. We call this season Epiphany, and it succeeds Christmas the way child raising naturally develops out of childbirth. Christmas is a special, distinctive, and sacred time, the way every birth is. We are changed by it, and then, within hours or days, we begin to incorporate the new reality brought about by the birth into our lives. Order and routine begin to return, although not the same order and routine we were used to before. Something radically different is part of our lives now, and it shapes everything we are and everything we do. The gifts may have been given and the visitors returning home, yet we are just beginning to grapple with our new identity and purpose. The book of the Bible called Ephesians is meant to be a help to us as we grow into our new reality, the reality which began with Christmas and stretches far into the future. This book speaks in the voice of someone who's thought long and hard about the meaning of Christ's arrival in the world and has tested his thinking against his experience. It speaks of what Christ reveals about God's nature and God's intentions. I'm going to begin with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, and then continue on through verse 13 of chapter 3. So, Jesus came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to you who are near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. You are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote about in a few words above, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches in Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. As we move into the new year, the good news, the enlightening awareness which we can take with us from these words is as follows. First, each of us belongs to the people of God and the household of God. If we felt ourselves to be excluded, or if we were in any doubt about this before, Jesus has definitively settled the question. There are no longer outsiders and insiders. Jesus has opened the door wide to all of us. No one can prevent us from coming to God, just as we would have no right to try to separate others from God. Second, the opportunity to proclaim God's great inclusiveness and love for all is worthy of tremendous dedication and sacrifice. Paul ended up in jail. He lost his personal liberty because he so insistently and so adamantly proclaimed the controversial word that God in Christ reaches out to all people. He had no regrets about this, however, no matter his own suffering. It was Paul's great joy to announce Christ's boundless riches for all who would receive them. Third, the church has a very special role to play in making God's grace known. The church is meant to contain and live with the wisdom of God in its rich variety, so that the world will know that God's mercy and God's ways are not monolithic and not uniform. God's ways are diverse, creative, colorful, multiple, and unpredictable. The church is meant to celebrate, embrace, and live constructively with difference and variety and growth and change, so that rulers and authorities on every level will see that efforts to keep people compartmentalized and separated from God and from one another are not in accordance with God's will. All of this good news, of course, as we know from history and from current events and from our own hearts, is by no means easy to absorb. Human beings, sadly, are still killing one another over perceived ethnic and racial differences, still struggling mightily for power and control over one another in political, economic, religious, and social arenas. We are still resisting new knowledge, new understanding, new insights and observations, even though we've been plainly told that the wisdom of God comes in rich variety. We don't especially want to welcome and live and worship alongside anybody and everybody, especially when they aren't willing to go along with the way that we have always done things. Even when we reach the place that we do value inclusiveness, we find ourselves profoundly challenged to tolerate, let alone welcome, those who do not share our awareness that God's love and acceptance is meant for all, not just for some. It's no wonder that we have to have Christmas every year. We're still trying to learn to live up to our high purpose. And most of the time, evidence indicates that we have a long way to go. This is not, however, the moment to fall into discouragement and despair. This is the season to keep looking for signs of hope. It is the season to find and celebrate the places that God's love is shining brightly and bringing new enlightenment to more people. In the times when that quest may seem unlikely to produce results, I am encouraged by this old tale about the angel Raphael, who was found one day meditating in the heavenly grove of silence. All of the angels knew that if someone was meditating in the grove of silence, they were absolutely not to be disturbed. So it surprised Raphael very much one day to hear someone calling his name. He looked up. It was his friend Lemuel. "Do not interrupt me, old friend," protested Raphael. "I am thinking." "So you have been for 2,000 years," Lemuel agreed. "Now come with me." "What are days and years to us?" complained Raphael. "I feel the need to remain here in silence. Please obey the rules and allow me to do so." "I have been commanded to come here," Lemuel explained firmly. "I have been ordered to bring you with me." "Where are we going?" asked Raphael. "To earth," answered his old friend. No, cried Raphael, that I cannot and will not do. I have been here in the Grove of Silence since that night we sang for all humanity. And all this time, my thoughts have focused on just one question. How did I fail? What did I do wrong in bringing the news of God's great gift to all people? Only this morning, I finally figured it out. I finally see the answer. Today, I realize the fault was not mine. The fault was not the music, not the melody, not the words of the hymns. I have realized today that fault lies with human beings. They did not want to understand. Humankind is hopeless. I will have nothing more to do with them. It is true, answered Lemuel, that the child whose birth we heralded went unrecognized by many and was rejected by all but a very few. However, there are some things you must see on earth, and we are commanded to go this very day. Raphael knew it was time to stop arguing, and so he stood up, and together he and Lemuel made their journey to earth. Lemuel began by showing Raphael some buildings. Certain of the buildings were grand and elegant, made with stone. They had tall steeples and bell towers. Others were very simple buildings with thatched roofs and open walls, but all of them contained a cross and a Bible. At one building, the two angels stopped to read the inscription over the doorway. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, it stated. Does this mean, wondered Raphael, does this mean that there are still a few people on earth who love God and love the child as we do? More than a few, replied Lemuel. In big cities and in tiny villages all around the globe, there are people who worship and honor God. Now Raphael began to see some of those people. They were working in hospitals and medical clinics. They were teaching children how to read. They were bringing food and blankets to refugees whose homes had been destroyed by mudslides and earthquakes and wars. They were studying the words of Scripture. They were studying the natural world, trying to learn how it might stay balanced and healthy. They were writing letters to prisoners. They were building houses for strangers in need of warmth and safety. They were organizing schools and art museums and music groups. They were working in and with governments and businesses to accomplish the most good for the most people. They were caring for their families. They were comforting their friends. They were praying, and some of them were even singing. Singing, just like Raphael and the heavenly host had once done. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all people. Tears of joy streamed down Raphael's face. He had not failed after all. It was a wonderful feeling. And we human beings can be joyful as well, because we are not incapable of receiving, welcoming, learning from, being transformed by, and putting into practice the light of God's love and wisdom and compassion and grace. The flame of Christ's peace, signaling peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near, has been kept alive all this time. As we take our turn in tending the flame and lifting it high for others to see, we can take heart in the promise that the darkness did not and the darkness does not overcome the light. The light of Christ is too bright, pure, generous, inspiring, real, and true to ever be extinguished. The book of Ephesians reminds us that we are all citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It spells out for us that God intends to unite humanity while preserving our many different gifts. It calls us to accept our mission to be the church, living out the wisdom of God in all of its rich variety, even when others resist us or try to squelch us or shut us down. The path before us is not necessarily an easy one, as the writer of this text well knew, but it is filled with rich blessings. Foremost among those blessings is the joy and privilege of having access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who keeps hope alive in us. That open access to God allows us to pray with bold confidence through our faith in the abiding presence of the one born into the world for our sakes. Holy God, we thank you that we can turn to you anytime, any place, with words that we speak aloud or whisper in our hearts, with a look or a gesture or even a sigh too deep for words. We thank you that we can turn to you for comfort, courage, and guidance, for illumination, wisdom, and forgiveness. When we talk to you, God, when we think of you while we are working or resting or creating, when we sing to you or light candles for you, when we read scripture or recite poetry in your honor, we trust that you are drawing near to us to give us whatever grace we need. We thank you for always holding us fast and for assuring us that no one can take away our relationship to you or our place among your people. Teach us more and more how we can be a community that reflects your wisdom in rich variety. We pray that your light may shine more brightly throughout the world and pierce the gloom of hardened hearts. Our hope is in you, Lord, and so we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.